We rise. We know and confess that Jesus Christ is the light that came into this dark world. When the Magi saw the star that miraculously appeared, it was calling them to come from afar to worship Him. The Word of God for our consideration on this Epiphany Celebration Sunday are the words recorded for us in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 2. I read those earlier. Let me just direct your attention to the opening two verses. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." So far our gospel, and we pray. Dearest Jesus, by the manifestation of your light, you now are calling all people to you. Jews and Gentiles, come. Come and worship you. Today, through the light of your scriptures, you still call each and every one to seek you and follow you. Let your word be the lamp to our feet and the light to our path as we seek to worship and serve you all the days of our lives. Your holy name we do pray. Amen. You may be seated. I greet you all this morning in the name of Christ Jesus, fellow Gentiles, people for the most part are not connected to the bloodline and call themselves Jews. If you're not part of the bloodline, then you're a Gentile, which makes for the most part most of us. So I greet you then with a blessing from the Lord and say Merry Christmas to you. What do you mean Christmas is over with? Now, maybe you put away your stuff, and maybe you put Jesus back in the box until next year. But Christmas is an appropriate greeting for this time of an epiphany. It is now when the Lord calls people from afar, and they come to him and worship, and they exchange their gifts to him. They bow down and worship him. So for many people, this is the time of celebration for Christmas. So whether you want to argue about the date of Christmas or not, because in Christian freedom we know that, all right, December 25th, Christmas Day, was a day that was chosen. Although more than likely it was probably another month when the weather was warmer because the people are still out in the fields watching their flocks at night. But in Christian freedom, this country and around the world, we have chosen to go with Christmas Day as December 25th. So Merry Christmas there, and certainly an Epiphany Christmas, a Merry Christmas to all of you. We know that Christ Jesus comes into the world, and now he calls people from afar. This light that was seen from far away was the guiding light to bring those Gentiles to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. So we know that the light of Jesus draws people to him. We know that the light shines in this darkness. We know that the light and word of God continues to direct us and will all the days of our lives. We believe that and we trust that. Now this morning, as we will often do, is we will look at the scriptures and maybe try to clarify a couple of things as we look at this story in Matthew. So let's do it in sort of a question and answer format, if you would allow me. The scripture before us in Matthew's gospel, let me ask you some questions. And if you feel bold enough, go ahead and answer. Otherwise, I'm just going to give you the answer because it's pretty clear. And I think most of you will know the answers. So let's do a few questions like this. In what town did we learn that Jesus was born? The scriptures say, in Bethlehem, in Judea. And when was Jesus born? Now, we don't know the date, we don't know the time, but we know a comparison. When did he say was that time frame in which Matthew made reference? The time of King Herod. So it's the history will tell us that Herod lived and died sometime around 4 BC. And if Jesus lived in that time of Herod, we know that Jesus had to have been born in that time frame because Herod was dead at 4 BC. So we're not sure exactly when it was the Magi came. So as best we can determine, that it could have been an estimate of maybe 5 or 6 BC when the light appeared. That's again, we're just guessing. And in our Christian freedom, we know that we have selected December and we've chosen those dates, but we don't know exactly when it was. We don't know exactly how old the Christ child was when the Magi had come either. So there are some things we do know, there's some things we don't know. But what we do know is we're told that the Magi came from somewhere east of Jerusalem. Magi, as we looked at that word, could be translated wise men, intelligent people. Some will associate them with people who were astronomers, someone watching the stars. Others say they were mathematicians, or perhaps they were even philosophers. We're not even sure who these guys were. They're just called Magi. But for some reason, they were aware of activities in the sky and were pondering and waiting for something to appear. So the Bible doesn't tell us who these guys were or exactly when they made the trip. But the Bible does tell us that they came from east of the city of Jerusalem. Okay, simple enough. How far east should we go? Well, you know the old song that people sing, "We Three Kings of," how's that go? Orient. So the writer of that particular song says he put them east, all the way to the Orient. Again, we don't know how far east from which they came, but biblical scholars would tend to agree they probably came more like from Babylon, 750 miles kind of northeast. And that's probably as good an answer as we have, but again, we don't know for sure how far they traveled or from where they came. We may not know all these things, but we do know the reason why. If we look at the scriptures, we know the reason they came. That the Magi asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." The Magi came to worship the promised Messiah. That's the reason for the journey. Now, apparently, they were watching for a sign that this child would be born. They had been given information from time ago. And again, we don't know, but we could look and say, if in during the time of Daniel, when there was the captivity and people were taking into Babylon, then more than likely these Jewish men, these Jewish scholars, were sharing the truth that they had learned from the Old Testament scriptures, talking about the star that would rise, the promise of the Messiah, the one who would come, the virgin birth. They were given all this information, and so these people, these Magi, these intelligent men, were watching and waiting for such a sign to appear. Now, we're not told how long they watched. We're not told for how many years they were watching. We're not told what direction they were looking. All we were told is that they saw his star and they were convinced this was the star that was of the promise of the Messiah, and they came to worship him. So they traveled and they made their way along. Now, when they saw the star, we don't know how long after they saw the star that they decided to pack up their bags and their camels and their donkeys and get their people together and make their trip. All we know is that they made the trip and they were coming looking for the King of the Jews. So how far did they travel? How's that song go? We three kings of Orient are bearing gifts of travel so far. Field and mount and... Anyway, they were making a hike. However, they were... The song tells us one thing. I don't know if we're going to get our theology from the writing of a song. But we know that they're making their trip. The Bible doesn't tell us how far they traveled. It doesn't tell us how many magi made the trip. We don't know if the magi brought with them servants or family, or if they brought many sheep and cattle. We don't know a lot of things, but we know that they made the trip because they came to worship the king. Now, in this portion of God's word, we know that the Magi came looking specifically for a king. The word king is mentioned a couple of times in Matthew, one in connection with Herod. We have King Herod, who is the one who is living in Jerusalem. And the king is used the next time when it's talking about the King of the Jews, the promised Savior, the Messiah. That's the second time the word king is used. So the Magi were looking for the King of the Jews, and as they made their trek, they stop in Jerusalem. And they inquired of the king, and they asked him, "Where is the one who is born King of the Jews? We have come to worship him." How did Herod reply? "Silence. I'll get back to you on that." So King Herod has to do something, and he asks for some help. And of whom does he require? Whom does he inquire? Who's he talk to? The chief priests and the teachers of the law. Why them? Because they have the biblical knowledge of days gone by. And what was the answer that was given? "Where is the one born King of the Jews?" Oh, that's an easy answer. That's found in Micah chapter 5, verse 2. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they said. It's prophesied that he will come, and that's where you'll find him. So now that the king has the answer, he calls the Magi back and has a little secret discussion with them. And he says, "Hey, by the way, when you go, when you find him, come on back here so that I could find him and I could go and worship him too." Now, we know from history that that is not what his real desire was. Herod has no intention to bow down to anyone, especially a rival king. He simply wanted to eliminate this king and wanted somebody else to go find him and let him know. Now, the Magi, having been given the information in Bethlehem and Judea, pointed in the general direction, go, they make their way to the 6 or 8 mile journey. Why didn't Herod know about this? Why didn't the Magi, or why didn't the teachers of the law and the other people know about this and make the same trip? I don't know. We're not told. But when the Magi began their journey again, they stepped outside, and lo and behold, the star that they had seen was now there again, and it guided them directly to where the child was. So where did the Magi find the King of the Jews? Was it in the stable? No, not in the stable. It bugs me every year. We put up our nativity, and lo and behold, there the Magi are at the stable, which is biblically wrong, but everybody does it, so why fight it? But it's not right. The Magi weren't there. The kid was born in the stable, and it could have been a year, 12, 15, 18 months before the Magi showed up. So we don't know the time frame of it. But the answer tells us, where was the child? Was he in the stable? Verse 11, it says, no, in a house. That's where they saw the child, and that's where they saw his mother, Mary, with him. So when they arrived, when the Magi finally arrived, what did they do? They bowed down, meaning they put their face to the ground, arms spread out, and fell down before him. They were bowing down and they worshiped him, giving him honor, praise, and glory, calling him King of all kings, calling him the Lord, the God, the Savior. And they presented to him, out of motivation of love for their Savior, they give him these gifts that they had brought. Now, how many gifts are there? Well, we're told that three things have been named, things like gold. We don't know what kind of gold, what variety of gold. Then we have the incense and the myrrh. There could have been other gifts. So this is how they often get the three wise men, because there are three gifts. And of course, one wise man can't carry more than one gift. So anyway, we're not going to argue about that either. Let's go on. So how old was the child? And they use the word child instead of the word infant. So how old was the child? We don't know. Best guess, year, year and a half. Not sure. And how long did it take the Magi, or how long did they stay for their visit? I don't know. I mean, they just walked. If they came from Babylon, 750 miles, maybe they stayed for tea. But we don't know how long they stayed, but they stayed long enough to amply worship their Lord, presenting him with their gifts. And when their visit was over, did they go back to Herod? No, they didn't, because they were warned in a dream not to go back, because Herod had no good plan for the child. Now, as I see it, in this biblical historical story of what was going on, we try and relate all these activities to us, to our day, to events, and how can we connect with it. I see there are three groups of people. Now, you can make some arguments about that way, but humor me for now. We have three groups of people. One group, and we'll call Herod the leader of a type of people. We have another group of people that we'll call the teachers of the law, those guys. And we have the Magi. If we were to try to define these three different groups with words, if we looked at Herod, we could look at him and people like him and say they're uninformed. We might even say, as we know more about Herod, they're actually hostile to the word of God. We might even say they are very much self-serving and want to be the focal point of everything. So if Herod represents a group of people, we might call them a group that's uninformed, hostile, and just me-focused sort of people. The next group I put down was the chief priests, the elders, the leaders. These people had some knowledge. They had some biblical understanding, but they had little desire to do anything about it. We might call them a group of apathetic people. Look at me. I know lots, but I don't have to do anything. So we have the Herod group and the teacher group. And then we have this Magi group. Now, if we were going to describe them, we might call them limited amount of knowledge. Had some things that they knew, but some things they didn't know. So we look at them and say they have knowledge, a certain amount, but they had a great desire to go over however distance they traveled for one simple purpose, to worship the Lord, to give their gifts to him, to show him honor, to praise him. Now, if we use these three groups as sort of a cross-section of society, don't answer. But I want you to think for yourselves. Of those three groups, the Herod group, the teacher group, the Magi group, where would you, as you look at your own family, place your husband or your wife or your children or your relatives? Now, some may be in different groups, but I need you to think about that. Where would you place these relatives of yours? Are they people with a great desire to worship the Lord, to travel far and wide? Or aren't they on the other extreme? Are they Herod, who are just uninformed and are very hostile to God? Or are they somewhere in the middle where they have enough knowledge that they think they can get into the front door of heaven without having to worship and really don't seem to care one way or another? You see, you can put people into these three little groups. If you think about that, then let's consider some other people. How about the people you work with? Where would you place them in the group of these three? Maybe some go in one category, some go another. How about classmates? People that are in school with you. How about those who are your football buddies when you get together for the game today? Where do you place them? Now, I think if we now look at ourselves and do an honest survey, do you see yourself as one of the Magi? One with a certain amount of knowledge, but a great desire to worship. And I think most Christians want to be in the Magi column. Most of them want to be seen as someone who wants to worship their God. You are here today because we worship our God. But truth be told, when the light of God shines on all of us, and God himself looks at you and me and our desires and our motivations, truly he will see someone who is hostile to him. He will look into our hearts and he will determine our motivations, and he will see that we are more me-focused and self-centered. And then we're very much apathetic about a lot of things that are God. He will see us as stingy with our time, our talent, and our treasure. He will see that we look at our own finances before we seek to serve him. He will see that we are not Magi with this great desire. He will see that we are sinful creatures who by our very nature hate him, and by our actions prove it every day. We are not the Magi. We're more like Herod, more like the teachers of the law. And yet, this king, who was born in the stable and now living in a house in Judea, Bethlehem, this great king steps out of eternity, comes into this world so that he can live, that he can suffer, and that he would die, so that you and me and Herod and the teachers and the Magi can all be forgiven. Our God steps into eternity, born in a stable, and then dies on Calvary's cross, so that you and I can be free, can be forgiven, so that we can know the love of God that is found in Christ. It is this child who grows to be a man, who then gives himself as the sacrifice for all the sins of the world, once and for all. And for all those who believe in him and trust in him and follow him, he has a home prepared for those, a home in heaven that awaits those who trust. You are forgiven, and your guilt has been removed. You have peace with God. And yes, we will be like Herod sometimes, and sometimes like the teachers, and even sometimes we'll be like the Magi. And yet we are tainted with sin from our very beginning. And the Lord says, but I've forgiven all those sins too. And when you make bad choices and do things that are horrifying in the sight of God, he says, come to me. Turn from your sin, for you are already forgiven. And go and sin no more. You see, our God loves us so much that he gives his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but they will have eternal life. So the King of the Jews came into this world as a light into this darkness, a light that miraculously appeared so the Magi could follow. I greet you as saints of God because that is what you are, redeemed and restored and bought at a price. So I say, let's concentrate on serving our Lord. Let's be more like the Magi. Let's walk with Jesus. Let's walk to him. Let's stop complaining about the trip, there it is, that we have to make through the tunnels or down the road. Let's stop complaining about the weather, whether it's hot or cold or rainy or sunny, and be like the Magi. Simply focus on what Jesus has done. Come and worship him, giving our gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. We let the light of Scripture shine on us and through us. It is the lamp to our feet. It is the light to our path. The truth of Scripture has given us wisdom and understanding. Let us be like the Magi who joyfully and willfully followed the light so that we could walk in the light of Jesus. And then paying attention to what he says, may we serve him and others all the days of our lives. Amen. We rise. We ask that the light of the Lord Jesus shine on each and every one of us. Shine on us, shine in us, and shine through us all the days of our lives. Amen. Having heard God's word, let's join together and confess the words using the Nicene Creed. You'll find that printed for you on page 31 in the front of your hymnal. Together we confess. We believe.